Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are currently in the book of Luke, and I just want to take a moment to thank you for joining us on the podcast. It does mean a lot to me. I think it's a great habit to be in the Word of God daily. If you could do me a favor, and that is, if you could mention this podcast to somebody else, it'd be a blessing. We're not trying to grow for growth's sake, but I really do have a burden for people to be in the Word of God. And so if being in the Word of God is helping you, no doubt it's going to help somebody else. And so if you would take a moment and just maybe share the podcast, another great way you could help us is to review the podcast. Just take a moment and just review it, whether you're on your regular platform or Apple Podcast or Podbean or wherever you are. Just stop and leave a review if you would. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, go ahead right now and pause the podcast because you're going to forget 12 minutes from now. And just pause it, leave a review. I'm telling you that'd help. It would help us to generate more interest for others. So that's my shameless plug for the day. We are in Luke chapter 4, and we just discussed the rejection that Jesus faced by an unlikely group, his own hometown people at Nazareth. And now he's on the move. And Jesus is going to headquarter his ministry in a larger place, in some ways a much more strategic place, but not his first intended place. He wanted to go back to Nazareth. He's going to move on to the city of Capernaum on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. I'm joined again today by Josh. I'm glad that Josh, you're with me because you and I have walked the streets of Capernaum together.
We have, and Capernaum is just so important, as we see, as you mentioned, it becomes the headquarters of Jesus' ministry.
So many of the miracles, my friends, that you read about in the Bible that you maybe don't initially associate with a place took place in Capernaum.
Yeah, I mean, Jairus' daughter being raised.
Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, right? His daughter was raised.
Peter's mother-in-law.
Right, Peter's mother-in-law, the man that was let down through the roof, that was healed by the Lord, forgiven of his sins, that took place in Capernaum.
And we're about to read of another miracle.
Yeah,
here in Capernaum.
Yeah, and there are many others, but rather than give them away, we'll discuss them as they come along chronologically. Let's talk about the first one here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. That wasn't uncommon for a visiting rabbi, to enter synagogues and to teach. Remember back in those days, strangers coming to town, people coming through your village on a Sabbath day, that'd be a special occasion. And so especially for a rabbi, you'd want to hear a fresh voice and talk to us about the scriptures. So Jesus is asked to speak on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished. Here's the reaction of the people to Jesus. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So talk to me about their astonishment at his doctrine. His word was with power.
Jesus was teaching and he was teaching that of his claims to be Messiah. And we'll see that in the Gospels, that they are amazed at his authority. He's speaking the word with authority. And so oftentimes we hear teachers speaking that they didn't even believe the scriptures. They didn't even believe that it would be accomplished. But here's Jesus speaking prophecy and talking about how it's actually happening in their day and age.
So Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, chapter 1 or 2 Timothy, he said, no, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy, he said, these teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So here were teachers that were teaching weekly that didn't even really know what they were saying and didn't even know what they were affirming. And there's something to be said about somebody that speaks a message and the message itself is true, but there's something intangible about, you know, that he knows it's true. His life, his words, his conviction, his countenance, they all back it up. This is true. He speaks as one that has authority. How can one speak authoritatively about the Word of God? Well, give me just a practical, you know, maybe there's a Bible teacher listening to us right now, a Sunday school teacher, a dad who wants to teach his kids the Word of God, maybe a fellow pastor. What advice could you give somebody about speaking authoritatively from the Word of God?
Well, I think a key is when you study the Word of God, you first find out what it actually means, right? And then you find out what it means to you, and then you live it. And so when you speak to someone about having a relationship with the Word of God, you know, this podcast is about getting people into the Word of God. Reason you're so excited and the reason that you're pushing, hey, you got to get into the Word of God, is that you've lived a life that you're in the Word of God. So you're speaking through with authority and power to people saying, I've lived this. I've seen how it's changed my life. I've seen how I've grown close with my relationship to God. So I think it's not only knowing it, you know, and
academically,
intellectually, but also living it. Hmm. And Jesus lived the scripture. He was the Word of God, right? Made flesh, but he knew the scripture and he lived it. And he was able to speak clearly and he was able to speak powerfully to everyone.
Yeah. So knowing the Word of God academically, there's something to be said for that, but knowing it experientially. So it's almost like, learning about Disney World and learning about, wow, here are these rides there and these attractions and this vacation. And I could tell you about it and say, well, you ought to go there. It has this. I heard it has this and has this. But then I could talk to you about Disney World as one that's been there to say, oh, no, you got to ride this. You got to be on. Did you get on that ride? It was almost as if you were, it's different. I know about it, but I also know it. Hmm. So speaking with authority means I know about it, but I also know it. It's an academic and an experiential knowledge. So the Bible says the people were astonished by that. Verse 33, and in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Isn't it interesting? The people of Nazareth didn't recognize Jesus of Nazareth, but the demons knew who he was. Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits. They come out, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. So it was an authority not only in the message he preached, but it was an authority that was illustrated by the life he lived.
And we see, you know, there's demonic man possessed by a demon. And we're going to see this in Jesus' life. Many times he's going to cast out demons. And there's a question that naturally arises. Why do we not see so many demon-possessed people? But Jesus is the light. And so Jesus comes in and he's shining a light in the darkness. And the light attracts, just like you put a light outside on your porch at night, it's going to attract a lot of bugs. And so here's Jesus, the light of the world, coming in, stepping into our world. And we see the dark forces gathering around Jesus. And we see they're not afraid to enter into a place of worship. but they are afraid of when they're confronted with the power of Christ.
The devils also believe, James told us, and tremble. So yeah, I agree with you, Josh, that it should not be odd for us to see maybe an increase of demonic activity, at least coming to the surface. Not that there's necessarily an increase of activity, but perceived activity when Jesus is on planet Earth. The other thing I would say to that is, I don't know that we don't see a lot of demonic activity today. You know, I think sometimes we just, the way we label things today, and I'm not here to say that every mental disease or every schizophrenic episode is a matter of demon possession. I'm not saying that. I don't see a devil behind every tree. But what I'm saying is certainly, the medical community is not going to define demon possession. Mm. And does that mean that it's gone away? No, I don't think it has. One thing I do know is that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The answer for the world today is what the answer has always been, and that is a vibrant personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I find later on in the ministry of Jesus that he talked about the religious teachers had accused Jesus of casting out devils by the prince of devils. Oh, the reason he can cast out devils is because he has a special relationship with the devil himself. And Jesus said, that's the most illogical thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, the devil doesn't cast out devils. No, as a matter of fact, the fact that you will admit that what I'm doing is real will tell me that what you really understand is that a strong man is entering into the house and stronger than these demons casting him out. So in other words, what you're really doing is testifying to my power and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if what you're saying is that the Holy Spirit is a devil, that's blasphemy. And so the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not forgiven. Because what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're denying the Holy Spirit, in essence, what you're saying is, I deny the message of the Holy Spirit, which is I deny the validity, the veracity of Jesus Christ himself. Boy, that was a long rabbit trail, but it ended at a good place. So, in this first miracle, Josh, of the healing of this demoniac man, we see the reiteration of really one word, one thought, and that is the word authority. That Jesus has authority to speak into our lives and authority to do in our lives. And I wonder if we are submissive to the authority of Christ in our life.
I was about to bring that up as well. Authority is all over this chapter, and we'll see authority play out through the rest of the book. It's viewing Jesus not only as our Lamb, not only as the Savior of the world, which he is, but making him the Lord of our life, submitting to his will, not our will.
A dynamic faith, according to the book of James, is not believing something about the Lord or even being emotionally moved by what we know to be true about God. The devils also believe and tremble. So here were demons that correctly identified Christ, the people of Nazareth couldn't even do that, and they were emotionally moved by the identity of Christ, but they didn't put faith in him. So dynamic faith is saying, I believe who Jesus is, and I trust him, and your life will become an evidence that faith is real or not. And so what we find here are people that recognize the authority of the Word of God, but recognizing its authority is not enough. What will you do with the Word that you've recognized? That's really the big question. And so my question to you, my friends, today would be, what are you going to do with the Word of God that you're learning in your own personal quiet time? Maybe even on these daily podcasts or in your own local church, as the Word of God is taught, as you're receiving it, yes, recognize it for what it is. That's what the Thessalonian believers did. They recognize it as the Word of God. But in recognizing it, are you submitting to it? Are you allowing it to become a part of the warp and woof of your life? Are you truly submitting to the authority of the word of Jesus in your life? It's a big question. It's a question we all must answer, and I hope that you'll answer it for yourself today. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day, and we look forward to talking to you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.